What's up, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. Been gone for a little bit, but I'm back now. And I want to jump right into the NBA. You know, Adam Silver in the NBA and his people, they're planning on coming together. You know, he has some high-ranking officials within the league office, and they're going to come together to present something as far as bridging a gap between this whole one-and-done thing. I think the one-and-done thing may possibly be done. It may be done for good. I've heard a bunch of different things on it, but this one seems pretty good. You know, the NBA is going to try to start relationships with these elite teenagers, guys that are that we noticed. Like, let's say, let's go back years ago. Like, if this was out when LeBron was in school, you know, we'd have definitely talked to LeBron. They would have definitely talked to LeBron and guys like that. You know, we can go back to the class of 95. And 1995, one of the best high school classes I've seen. Kevin Garnett, Stephon Marbury, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Vince Carter, and so forth. The NBA would have had a relationship with those guys that I just mentioned, you know, like a Marbury or Garnett, and they would have kind of trained them. And right now, apparently what's happening now, they got something in plan where they can provide skills to help them develop on and off the court. You know, and it'd be an alternative path to the NBA besides going to college, you know. And it's good, I think, in a sense where, you know, you could put these kids through the G League, maybe. In a sense, just put them through the farm system, put them through the rigors of the NBA, because you realize, you know, that guy that's 28, 29 in the G League who's fighting for his career and wants to make it to the NBA and give it one last shot, or just to try to make it for the first time, he's going to go at you really, really, really hard. That's going to test you a whole lot, because, you know, those guys in the NBA, they're just as bad. But just imagine about that guy that's been starving, trying to make it. Here comes his hotshot 18-year-old. He's got something to prove, so he's going to try to put you in your ass. So apparently, like, Adam Silver and his team, they can present a plan over the next few months. The league's planning to wait until after the Commissioner of College Basketball presents his report this spring. So Adam Silver, MVP, the Players Association Executive Director Michelle Roberts, you know, they've appeared before the commission, which is chaired by Condoleezza Rice. To quote one league official, they said, "We're looking at changing the relationship we have with the players before they reach the NBA. To continue to quote, he said, "It's a complex challenge, but there's still a lot of discussion of how it's going to happen, but we all need to step in." So I think it can work if they tweak everything out the right way, and I'll just throw it out there. There's a lot of ideas being thrown around. I think the one and done should happen. Stephen A. Smith made something. He mentioned something pretty interesting today. He said, you should be able to go pro, but if you go to college, you go for 2 years. You know, for me, growing up, it was always like if you play college ball, you were going to play for 2 years. That's just the way I've always seen it. It was never a situation where you thought about one and dones. You know, one and done didn't really come to the forefront until 96. That was the year Marbury left after a year. That was the year Abdul-Rahim left after a year. And that's 13, a 13-year-old going on 14. You hear about this, you start thinking like, nah, chill, that's not even happening. How could that happen? You go to school at least for 2 years. Everybody I'd known at that point had gone to school for 2 years. You know, Chris Webber had gone for 2 years. You know, you had a lot of other guys that were 2 years. You know, Joe Smith had gone for 2 years. Guys that you know, Antonio McDice. These guys were all in there for 2 years. Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace, and the list goes on. But it was like, nah, bro, like, this can't happen. You gotta leave after 2 years. You can't do this or whatever the case may be. So that was the first time it ever happened. You know, so I don't think you should really take that away from them, saying they have to stay in school for 2 years. It's got to be something. Like I said, Stephen A, he mentioned that, like, you know, go to the league. If you're going to go to the league, you go. If not, you're going to go to college, go for 2 years. You know, I'm on a fence about it. It'll definitely bring some parity back to college basketball. It'll make college basketball, you know, kind of put it back up there again. And let me just say, even with the one and done, even with everything else out there, you know, college basketball is still great. I think, to me, March Madness is probably my favorite time of the year, even bigger than the NBA finals. But that's just my humble opinion. I think you get to see these kids in all their glory and they go all out. So, you know, somehow, some way, hopefully, you know, these guys get paid millions of dollars to do things like this and to make these decisions. I think they need to find a way to make sure the transition is easy, you know, partner up with these leagues, partner up with, you know, make sure the G League is available and giving all the resources out. You know, the G League is the NBA, obviously, but find a way to make it easier for these kids to come by, you know, let, you know, put them through the rigors, you know, put them through lectures and put them through all these different options to make sure that they're ready, you know, because call it what it is, and you give an 18-year-old $5 million, what do you think he's going to do? You know, for every kid that comes in, you know, that's not ready, you got a kid like LeBron who comes in with a team around him, and, you know, he doesn't have any hiccups and mishaps, and now he's on his way to becoming a billionaire. So although he's successful, you have everything else and everything under it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Adam Silver and his team pulls it off. I'm curious. I mean, the one and done thing, you know, you shouldn't be forced to go. If you go to college, you should leave whenever you want to leave, but they need to just open up the floodgates, let these kids come. And I get it's a case-by-case basis. I mean, but could you fault a kid who can live his dream at 18, 19? Like, don't fault the kid, you know? So we'll see how that goes. It's kind of complicated right now. We don't really have all the final details. I'm getting everything. I'm getting off of ESPN and NBA.com report. So kind of gotta be on, you know, on point with that. Another thing I wanted to talk about today's a little bit more serious, you know, because basketball, we're just kind of in the swing of things, you know, obviously the season's winding down and so forth. But Kevin Love opened up today about having panic attacks and mental health. Now, you know, many people, we all look at athletes because they make $20, $30 million a year, and they say, oh, they shouldn't have these emotions, they shouldn't have these feelings. You know, he opened up in a letter with the Players Tribune about having a panic attack during the game. So he had to address his mental health. You know, it's a big step for somebody in the public spotlight because of the scrutiny that comes with something like this. You know, as a man, me personally, speaking for myself, we always feel like we got to be tough. We've got to be macho. Like, we feel like we can't cry. We can't let emotions out. I mean, it's big for a guy, you know, to come out and say that. Like, he went through what he went through. He had to check his mental health. And he had to make sure everything was good as far as he went. You know, mental health isn't something you really want to just sit there and deal with alone. You know, speaking for myself personally, I don't have any mental problems per se, but there are times when I'm in my head more than I need to be. Something, you know, when I think something, you know, when I think something's wrong and it's going to go really bad, I mean, I think the worst. I always think the worst. I never think, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be okay. I'm very pessimistic. I've never been an optimistic person in my life. And I know that has nothing to do with mental health, but I mean, I would love to be able to channel my thoughts a little differently. And change my way of thinking, you know, for him to open up about this. I commend it. You know, DeMar DeRozan opened up last month about his bouts of depression. Again, you see, depressed? How could you be depressed? You make $20-something million a year. You have everything you want. You know, you got a Nike deal. You know, you got your kids in good health. You know, you got a big house. You got all the cars. That shows us all right then and there, you know, material things mean nothing. Money doesn't buy you happiness. You know, as happiness is an inside job. You have to take care of this yourself. You know, so for me, you know, I commend these guys for coming up, you know, and the fact of people feeling so alone, like, oh, you know, I don't want to come out. I don't want to say this because it's going to make me look weak. You know, Kevin Love has something today that he said in an article. He said, so if you're reading this and you're having a hard time, no matter how big or small it seems to you, I want to remind you that you're not weird or different for sharing what you're going through. He said, just the opposite. It could be the most important thing. It could be the most important thing you do. It was for me. You know, here's a guy, NBA All-Star, NBA champion. We all know they make a lot of money, and he's coming clean about it. You know, sometimes we all need that shoulder to lean on, you know, so I don't know who this, you know, this is talking to anybody, if it's affecting anybody, if you have anything going on, seek the help you need. Don't sit there and try to battle these demons inside your head by yourself. I mean, that'll drive you insane. As they like to say, man, like 50 Cent has a quote that I love. It says, pray or worry, but never do both. You know, don't worry about it. Get the help you need, pray on it, and then, you know, take the necessary steps to get better. So, shout out to Kevin Love. Shout out to DeMar DeRozan. You know, he stated that DeMar DeRozan was his inspiration for making that happen. You know, being somebody that came out in the forefront, and he, you know, he came out already and said it. So, big shout out to him. So I don't know, but to the Rockets, let's talk about these guys. And they just won a 16 game in a row tonight, being OKC Thunder. When it comes to them, I just got a few things. Right? Are they for real? You know, will they be able to execute come playoff time? You know, James Harden is the league MVP, right? Postseason is crucial for him. He needs to come through. We all know how that goes with him. He's iffy, definitely iffy. Then you know they, you know, again tonight, winners are 16 straight. The best record in the league by like a half game or game. Are the Warriors going to be too much for them in a 7-game series? I'm curious about. You know, I know that they made a big deal about the trio of Capella, Harden, and Paul. You know, being what, 33-34-1 when they play together, but will it matter come playoff time? You know, I don't know if the Warriors are just going through the motions because the games are just like, look, we got to get to the postseason. Let's either lock up that number one seed, or let's go ahead and just take this two seeds, still one in Houston, and run them off the court. You listen to Stephen A. talk, listen to everybody else talk, people still seem to think the Warriors are going to run them off the court. I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I mean, this could be their year. You know, does Mike Tony make the proper adjustments in the playoffs? I'm just worried. You know, I'm worried about that kind of stuff because, I mean, look at these Phoenix teams. They were locked and loaded. On the pace to win 70 games, they kind of slowed down during the middle of the season. 162 that year, still not bad. Steve Nash wins the first of his MVPs, but it's like, what happens now? What's going to go on now? So the Rockets are rolling, man. They're like the hottest team in the league right now, man. Hopefully they can keep this momentum. They don't have any injuries that comes up because, you know, that can always just alter teams' plans in the futures or whatever, in their future or whatever. But we're going to see how this works out, man, because I still think Golden State's going to get him in maybe 6 or 7, but then take James Harden much to go off. And you already know that. Then he's got a leader with him in CP3. So that should work out well for him, you know. Let's talk about I know I mentioned something about Adam Silver and, you know, his team going, you know, going through the motions with the high school kids and you know, and trying to bring that, bridge that gap. Let's talk about, you know, Steve Kerr as far as like undrafted players. Because I mean, this all can fall into college basketball, but it's all NBA. You know, I look at it like this. All these NBA guys, they're speaking out against the system being NCAA, right? NCAA, we all know, is crooked. It's funny. It's weird. You know, some people call it the most crooked organization in sports. That'd be Stan Van Gundy. He hates them, right? So Steve Kerr said something the other day. He was like, players leave college early for the NBA, but they go on pick should be allowed to come to school. And I've always noticed that a lot of guys who go pro, they come out and it's kind of like they're in limbo. So now you're 18, 19-year-old kid, you're cleared for the draft. You didn't get picked where you wanted to get picked or whatever the case may be. Or you didn't get picked at all. It happens, right? Some people declare just to declare, see their name on the list and think it's cool. They declare for the draft. They do whatever they do. And then it's like, okay, I don't get picked. I'm end up in the middle of Europe somewhere. You don't even really get a great deal. I mean, it happens. I mean, but you know, you're 18, you're 19, you're 20. You don't want to really be in the middle of nowhere in Europe, you know? You want to be somewhere where you're going to have fun. You're going to be somewhere where you're known, which is the NBA. Now, I'm not saying Europe's a bad place, but I mean, Steve Kerr makes a lot of sense. You know, why not let the kid come back to school if you offer the kid, quote unquote? You know, they got these scholarships that you got to renew every year. It's a tricky thing, you know? Steve Kerr told reporters the other day, don't keep these rules going. We all know what's going on. Let's do what's best for the kid. You know, give them some options. Work together between the NBA and the NCAA to find the right system. You know, it's entirely doable if the people just want to, if they want to open their eyes. So, you know, the NBA and the NCAA, the people should come together, which I think's going to happen with Adam Silver and his people the other day, you know, later on. They're going to come together. They're going to make things work. And they're going to take things, you know, they're going to take it to the next level, I should say. I personally think they should go ahead and they should come to some kind of agreement. You know, where the NCAA works a little closer with the NBA. So, you know, I'm not saying everybody's going to make it, but it's got to be a better transition for everyone. You know, the kid can't go back. Because, I mean, take a look like this, right? When guys want to test the waters, you know, you have to get money from an agent. You know, allow these kids to go somewhere. Allow the school to pay for it. I mean, hell, if you make a deep run, and you're with South Carolina when they made the Final Four, right? If you make a deep run with these guys, why am I not allowed to let this? Why is the school not allowed to pay for me to go take a trip out to an NBA camp and I can go to Portsmouth? You know, I can go to some private workouts. I need to come to some kind of agreement with the NBA, you know, allows it off the team's going to fall. It's got to be something. There's too much money floating around where a kid is penalized. The only time I've ever seen a kid go to school, get drafted, and a lot like his draft position, and come back was for Sean Leonard when he played at Minnesota. Milwaukee Bucks had his draft rights, I believe. He got drafted in the second round. He made a name for himself in the NBA. Was he a star? No, he wasn't. But he was serviceable, and he was able to make some money. He was able to play for a long amount of a good amount of time, and he kind of was putting. He always put a dagger in the Knicks' heart a lot because he played with the Heat for a while. So I remember seeing him. But he's one of those guys that I know. He went, tried out, worked out for teams, and then picked what he wanted, and then went back to school for a year, and it kind of improved his stock. Although he was in the second round, he got better, and he came into the NBA. He was a little bit more. He was more ready, you know. So. They, you know, as we all know, college players who declare for the draft but don't sign with an agent, they maintain eligibility unless if they withdraw within a certain amount of time by a specific date. What happens to a kid who comes from a single parent home who believes in himself, but, you know, they may not be able to afford to get him on a plane somewhere? You know, you're the kid that believes in yourself and it's like, damn, I got four workouts scheduled, but I can only pay for one or two. What happens then? You know, like, what really happens? I think that's kind of, it's kind of shaky. So I think it should be something done when the NCAA sits down with the NBA, and maybe we can get something where it doesn't cost them the eligibility. You know, it's really where it's a fine line. You can get a $40 meal and you're ineligible. You know, do something. Like, if a kid wants to go and try out for a team, do something where it's like, hey, you can work it off at a work study or something. It's got to be something doable for these kids. And Steve Kerr's right. If we're going to talk about it being for the kids and we make student athletes, you know, help them out here. So, seems to me institutions just only worry about getting a big check and a big payday. So that needs to stop. I mean, they need to come to grips with reality. They need to be smart about everything. And, you know, we need to really put a lid on all this nonsense. I mean, the NCAA needs to hold themselves responsible for a lot of the bullshit that goes on as well, too. So that's another story for another day. Now, when I talk about this next subject here, it's for me. It's awesome in every sense of the word, right? And many people probably know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Kobe Bryant winning an Oscar for a short film deal basketball, right? You know, first basketball player to achieve something like this, extremely monumental. It shows where, you know, we're more than just athletes. we can do a lot more outside of the sports realm. You know, we can do what we have a whole lot more to offer the world than just dribbling the basketball, dunking, and doing 360s and doing this and doing that. You know, we're not just going to shut up and dribble a ball. But when Kobe, I didn't watch the Oscars. I didn't really care for the Oscars. I don't really watch them, right? So when Kobe wins the Oscar, apparently when he got nominated for an Oscar, people started bringing up his past and started talking about allegations from years ago, about 16 years ago, something like that, 14, 15 years ago. So a petition was started when he was named the nominee. More than 16 people signed it. There was Kelsey Bourgeois. She explained to the magazine broadly, he settled with his accuser, so in my mind, that doesn't really make him innocent. It just makes him able to pay someone off who he wronged. I couldn't possibly know what actually happened, but we have to believe women, especially when they accuse men who are typically quote unquote above the law, so to speak, right? We all remember that incident, right? Kobe and the young lady in the room. Let's just say this. He played himself even doing that, right? You're married. You know, live above, don't try to be above the law. Don't try to do something different. He tried to be sneaking, try to get away with it. And obviously it backfired. And he ended up getting accused of sexual assault. And it wasn't pretty. But when they start digging up a little evidence, you know, because he had that dream team of lawyers, which everybody can't afford, you know, they start digging up evidence and they realize like he didn't sexually assault her, consensual sex. She didn't want to do something. And they went left. I mean, he paid her off and they went from there and so forth, right? So I get everything that they're saying, but it's just kind of like, why now? Why the timing? His accuser refused to take the stand. He didn't want to say nothing. And let me preface this by saying this. Like, I have a daughter, so I'm totally one of those guys. Respect the hell out of a woman. Are you kidding me? Like, my grandmother, like, my aunts, like, everybody. Like, I come on, man. Like, I would kill somebody for somebody. Not literally, but I would make sure, you know, I'm that guy. I would never disrespect a woman, but why now? You know, like, why now? Why the backlash now? You know, like, I understand it's something that we can't forget. But honestly speaking, I don't think about him. I don't think about that when I think of him now. I totally forget it happened. It was so long ago. You know, he lost a lot of endorsement deals, but he was in a couple of 4 video games. They didn't boycott EA Sports. He was in a commercial for Turkish Airlines. They didn't bash. They didn't boycott that. Call of Duty and Guitar Hero, nobody boycotted that. He's still supported by Nike. Nobody tried to boycott Nike. When he had his jersey retired, AEG, they owned Staples Center. They sold over $1 million in his merchandise. And nobody tried to complain or protest about that with them. So why now? Is it because it's an Oscar, because he's in a realm he shouldn't be in? You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, as a black man, it's just like, when are you going to kind of finally feel free? You know, when you're vindicated. You know, like, why are you vilified all the time? Like, I'm vindicated. I didn't do anything. But it's just kind of like, you bring this up, you know? Like Roman Polanski, we all know he won an Oscar in 2003, right? But he fled the country, right? A couple days before he was going to stand trial for raping a 13-year-old girl. He won an Oscar. What's the backlash with that? Look at Gary Oldman. He won Best Actor the other day. And he was accused of beating his wife in front of his kids. Apparently, there was allegations, you know what I mean? There were people sitting there talking about it and complaining. But it was like, it was a whisper compared to what was happening with Kobe. Because everybody's all over the place. And I'm not saying, like, yo, you're not wrong for having your opinion. But it's at the same time, it's like, why now? Let the man have his moment. I get it, man. I get it. It's really not the thing you want to do. But, yo, check back to Roman Polanski. The dude won't go to countries where he know you can get extradited to that. Why? Because he's guilty. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's saying nothing about that. And I hate to really even go that route and make it like I'm race baiting or doing anything along the lines. But it makes no sense, man. Knock it off, man. To the people that are out there doing, you know, complaining about Kobe, like, I get you, man. I hear you. I understand you feel away because he paid his accuser off. Like, that's what rich people do. You know, did anybody say something about Roman Polanski? I haven't heard that. You know, I mean, please bring him up a little bit more than you bringing up this guy, you know, and I'm not trying to sit there and stick up for him because he's Kobe Bryant. He's Kobe freaking. But no, it's like, dude, you want to ask him for a short film. If he decided to go on a retirement, you probably would have never even heard about it again. If you just sat in a cocoon and not said anything, like, yo, every sin has a past, every sin has a future, that's what I like to say. We've all done some dumb shit that we don't like. But, you know, when can we move on from it? You can't hold it over the man's head forever, right? He's earned his right back. He's got his family back. And he walked a fine line since. He hasn't been in trouble all the time. It's not, God, you know, forgive me for saying this, but it's not like it's Lawrence Taylor. When you're caught repeatedly, and then most recently, you know, you got caught with a young girl. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus either, but it's still like, dude, come on, be for real. So, I mean, athletes have done a whole lot. Kobe seemed like he learned his lesson, and that's really the way I see it. You know what I'm saying? Kobe's Kobe is just one of those things, man. And he, you know, it just happened. So, you know, enough of that. You know, enough of the seriousness. Let's move on a little bit to college basketball, man. March Madness is here. I mean, my favorite time of the year. My favorite time of the year. I completely love it. I do not bite my tongue when I say that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Selection Sunday. I'm sitting there with my paper and I'm filling out the bracket until I fill out my own bracket until they actually print out the real one the next day. And I go to the store, get the newspaper again. I do a bracket. Got a golden rule. You make your bracket, your team lose, you got to rip it up. No points, no this, no that. So always do that, right? So right now, Selection Sunday is March 11th. We all know it's like one of the biggest days of sports, to me at least. I love it. We got a few teams that qualified already. We got Murray State from the Ohio Valley Conference. We got Radford from the Big South. We got Loyola Chicago from Missouri Valley. We got Lipscomb from the Atlantic Sun. Michigan from the Big Ten. We got Iona from the MAC. And we got UNC Greensboro from the Southern Conference. As of right now, according to Joe Lenardi, he's pretty accurate with his brackets. He has four number one seeds, UVA being the top, Villanova, Xavier, and Kansas. And on the two line, you got Cincinnati, Duke, and Purdue, and UNC. Like I said, college basketball is an amazing thing. You see some of the best. You see some of these teams that you never heard of. You never knew that they existed, but they get out there and they play their ass off. I remember the first time I heard about Valparaiso when they played in the tournament, and they had a nice little run, and they upset Ole Miss. I never knew Valpo even existed. So those are the moments that you kind of live for. You know, my whole life watching the tournament. I started watching the tournament in 1990. I started watching when UNLV demolished Duke. That's when I became a Duke fan, actually. And they started demolishing Duke, and I kind of just got gravitated towards it. I'd watch it occasionally. I come from a Big East family, so a lot of guys in my family, Syracuse fans. I don't know how I slipped through the cracks and became a Duke fan or whatever, but that's just kind of how it works. So, you know, I got to see a lot of players come up, a lot of dudes that are Hall of Famers now, dudes that are just legends. You know, like, for example, like, I remember seeing Antonio McDice in the 1995 NCAA tournament. He played two games. One was against Penn. The second one was against Oklahoma State and Brian Reeves. Yeah, they went to the Final Four. And I remember McDice had two big games. He was a pro prospect because you're 6'9", 240, 250. You jump out the gym with a 40-some-inch vertical leap. You're a pro. But he went from being a first-round pick to the second pick in the draft. You know, that's what the NCAA tournament can do for your life, you know? So it's the two games that boosted his stock up. You know, careers are made, legacies are cemented. You know, you just some of those guys that, you know, oh, he's a big player. You know, guys that stay long and they get the ring. You know, guys that play 4 years. You know, you look at the Kansas team from 03. I feel bad for him, but I want to see Boeheim get one as well. You know, you had Kirk Heinrich, you had Nick Collison. These guys are like 4-year players. You were rooting for them. You wanted them to win one. You wanted Kansas to get one. And Kansas eventually got one, obviously, when Bill Self won one in 2008 when they beat Memphis. But you get my drift. It's just one of those things. And, you know, for me, I like to talk about some of the best games I've seen. You know, just March Madness Conference Tournament, NCAA Tournament, whatever. The Syracuse-UConn 6 overtime game. I just mentioned it. The 2003 Syracuse-Kansas championship game. UCLA and Missouri, the 95 buzzer beater by Ty Zetney. The year they went and won a national championship. That was pretty awesome. 97 game Arizona Kentucky. Arizona winning their first national championship. That was amazing, amazing game. You got the 92 East Regional Final, probably the greatest college game ever played, which is probably my personal favorite because it's the first time I really understood what was going on per se. And I remember the Duke UNLV game from 91 when Duke had Grant Hill come in. So these are games that I started to remember, and this is as a little boy, you know. The games are pure, these kids are playing with all heart. They out there, they're busting their tails, man. You know, they're giving it their all. I will say this, though. These kids out here, they're going to be out of school for the next couple of weeks, especially the top teams. Get these kids some money. Knock it off. You know, get them paid. Do what needs to be done. And take care of them. You know, like, you're on the road for a couple of weeks, man. Get these kids something, man. Do something for these kids. But looking forward to it. I'll be back to give, you know, full analysis when the brackets are done and my predictions and so forth. I'm just looking forward to it. It's a great weekend of conference championship basketball. Went to the ACC tournament today, and it was interesting. You know, a quarter afternoon session. Got to see two games. Got to see BC and Georgia Tech. Boston College won that one. Then I got to see Pitt. I got to see Pitt and Notre Dame. Notre Dame looked good. Pitt finished a horrible season, 8-24, 0-19. And I think Pitt needs to make a change, but I'll get back to that in a little while. Move on to Tubby Smith. He had some comments about transfers. You know, he says, you know, transfers, you know, the rise of transfers is teaching kids how to quit. I beg to differ with his comments. According to Tubby Smith, apparently 800 basketball players in Division I transfer last year. You know, he says if a player, you know, player makes a commitment, he should stick with his commitment. I'm against it. You know, when a kid goes to a school, he doesn't go to a school because the school has got nice facilities. Now, I'm sure schools have great facilities. You know, for me, look at Oregon, look at their facilities, great facilities, right? I mean, amazing, amazing, amazing. Then you got Father Nike, Phil Knight behind it and pumping all his money into Oregon, making sure they have all the top-notch things to make a kid want to go there. And I'm sure kids will go, wow, okay, this is great. I want to go. But what happens when you lose your coach and he goes to FSU? Can I go with him? Or can I transfer somewhere else? Because I came to Oregon for him, but I was going to go to Texas. Can I just go to Texas now because he's not here anymore? Or do I got to sit out a year? Like, I think, again, the hypocrisy with the NCAA sometimes is, if a coach leaves, I should be able to go. No problem, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, if I get stranded, why am I going to get stranded? You know, look, I mean, kids follow the coach. Look at Eric Bledsoe, John Wall, and DeMarcus Cousins. What were they going to do? They were going to go to Memphis, right? Then what happened? Cal pulled the trigger. Kentucky had an opening. Gillespie got fired, and he took the job. And so what they do? They decommitted. You know what I mean? You don't sign your papers on time. You know, look at Sharif Abdul. I mean, not Sharif Abdul, Raheem. Sharif O'Neal. You know, he committed to Arizona. He didn't sign a letter of intent. Didn't have to worry about it. He said, hey, I'm leaving. I'm not gonna honor my commitment. Went to UCLA. So he's going to UCLA, I should say. So, you know, Tubby Smith is wrong with that. You know, I think it's a player should be free to go. And the coach bails on them. And I'm all for the player. I'm pro-player, you know. And players should be able to leave. They feel like they need a change. And players shouldn't be blocked like some coaches do it. Now I'm going to go back to Kevin Stallings. When he was at Vanderbilt, it's a weird situation. How this works, he tried to block Sheldon Jeter. You know, Sheldon Peters, I should say. And what happened was, they were at school together. The player I just mentioned, they didn't like him. And he wasn't really feeling him too much. So what happens? Stallings didn't want to release him to Pitt. So he ended up going to a JUCO, right? You go to a junior college, you sit there for a year, then you come back to Pitt. Guess who gets a job at Pitt? You know what I'm saying? And this dude has been terrible at Pitt. I mean, he's 8-24 this year. You know, 0-18. And 0-18 in the conference. And it's like, why do you have a head coaching job? And then, you know, like that player. What happens with that player? So he gets away from a coach. It comes to a new school. And then that coach gets hired at the new school. So if he transfers, he has to sit out another year. Is it wrong? I mean, I think they need to fix that. We should be able to transfer immediately and play immediately. That's just me. You know, situations, I know they do it when it's extreme situation. Look at the Baylor situation when they had all they played, a lot of the players left. When the Patrick Dennehy thing happened, a lot of players like, let me get out of Dodge. And that's what they did. So, you know, I think when you have something like Kevin Stallings or when he's doing at Pitt and the Tubby Smith talking about, oh, gosh, no. If you leave, because if Tubby Smith sees a job where he can make a couple million more, he's going to take it. The only problem I have with Tubby Smith is, like, why the hell he have his son starting those Kentucky teams when his son damn sure didn't even really deserve to be on that bench. But that's neither here nor there, so we're going to get off of that. But Kevin Stallings, I think, you know, like, talking about him, you know, he just doesn't seem like the right fit for Pitt. Again, I saw them today. They looked dejected, looked like they didn't want to be there. They played hard today, but they didn't look like they wanted to be there. Give or take a few more plays, they could have pulled a huge upset. I know a lot of coaches don't really get fired in their second year into a rebuild, but I think he needs to go. Got the man for the job. He has like a $10 million buyout, but the alum is smart. They'll do it. They'll buy him out. And let's just say Danny Hurley. I'd buy him out and go up to Danny Hurley. Danny Hurley has Rhode Island where they need to be. He had Wagner winning. He's a great coach. I mean, with his ties on the East Coast, I think if he can get a kid to go to Rhode Island, he'll definitely get a kid to go to Pitt, a Nike school, which means a lot, ACC. TV time, travel, I think he'll get them right. Danny Hurley's the man for Pitt because he's not going to get the Seton Hall job. And I don't even think he'll go back to Jersey for that job. I don't think he wants to coach at his alma mater. But I'll tell you now, he'd be a great guy to come in and take over for Stallings because Stallings needs to go. Just pay him the money, let him go. So it's a wrap. That team, nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to play for him anymore. move over to a little bit of the NFL. Talk about the combine real quick, man. I know there's a lot of people that I can talk about in the combine, a lot of guys that stand out, and, you know, a lot of guys didn't do certain drills. I mean, Lamar Jackson, he didn't really do everything, so I got to wait till his pro day to really talk about him. But speaking of him real quick on a side note, stop disrespecting a guy that won a Heisman Trophy. Heisman Trophy doesn't guarantee success at the next level. I get that. But I think a guy that won a Heisman Trophy is a quarterback, proved he can be a quarterback, but he's utilized his legs. You take what's given to you in the field. If the field is open and I can bust a 20-yard run, there's no way I'm going to throw a 10-yard slant pass. I'm not going to do that, okay? It makes no sense the way he's sitting there. And not that he's being vilified, but the way people are acting with him and the way they're treating him. Let this young man play whatever position he wants to play. Let him do what he has to do. Get him in there. Let him show you that he can be a quarterback. Let him help a team out because he can help a team out. That's all I can say, you know, but I'm not the one making the decision. But he's just the utter disrespect, like, oh, you're going to play wide receiver. No, he's not going to play wide receiver. Let him play quarterback and show you that he deserves to be there. But as far as the combine goes, we know we had two studs that stood out. One of them was Saquon Barkley, running back from Penn State, kind of a dual threat. 6'1", 233 pounds, 29 reps on the 40 on the bench press. It's one more than offensive tackle Joe Thomas. You know, Joe Thomas, future Hall of Famer, Cleveland Brown, ran a 4.440, which is a little faster than Devin Hester, who ran a 4.3, and then a 41-inch vertical leap, which is, you know, a little bit higher than Julio Jones' 38.5-inch vertical leap. Great kid, does a little bit of everything, has the size, speed, he's got the power. He's going to be great at the next level. I really hope he's successful at the next level, and I'm pulling for him. Right now, he's in a running to be the number one pick. People are saying you don't really need to get him at one because you can still get him at four. But they need to do something where they can kind of make sure they, if whoever gets him, they got a winner. But I say if Cleveland decides to take him, you can take him. Or somehow, some way, you know, even if you trade down, you still find a way to get him and get one of those quarterbacks that's coming out, man, and draft the future, man. And this kid wants it. He's hungry. He wants to be around. And he wants to learn. So he's a good guy. He's like a good kid that you can build your program around. And hopefully it works out. And the other one who I, that I love, Jaquim Griffin, you know, UCF linebacker. You know, he ran a 4.38 40, which is the fastest time for a linebacker in a decade. You know, he did 20 reps on 225 with a prosthetic hand. You know, he lost his hand at the age of four because of amniotic band syndrome. So, you know, a guy played football with one hand. You know, you think about that for a minute. He played football with one hand, major division one, you know, football. I mean, the kid had a good year. You know, in 2016, you know, had a great year. He was a league defensive player of the year, 92 tackles, 11 sacks, an interception, 2 forced fumbles. He was this past season, he was the MVP of the Peach Bowl. You know, Central Florida were undefeated. They beat Auburn. They were 13-0. The kid can play, man. He's like the leader of their friends, like the leader of the defense. He was great, you know. You know, I don't know where he's going to be drafted at, but Richard Sherman, you know, he tweeted out. He said if he doesn't get drafted in the first 2 days of the draft, the system is broken. I really hope that his hand is not held against him. Because I'm going to be a firm believer and say Michael Sam never came out and said he was gay. Michael Sam would have been drafted higher. I think they discriminated against Michael Sam because of what he said. I think if Michael Sam was saying, hey, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, then Michael Sam wouldn't have this problem, because I've never seen a situation where an SEC Defensive Player of the Year gets picked last, late like that. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Like, he balled out that year. I don't remember his exact numbers, but he balled out that year. And for him to get picked when he got, it was, you know, yeah, okay, he didn't test as great at the combine and so forth. Some people don't, I mean, Emmitt Smith didn't have a great combine. Some people have game speed. Some people do things differently in the game than they do in the work, you know, than they do at a combine. When you sit there and you see 70, 80,000 fans screaming, you really think you're in an open field? You're going to slow down? No, you're going to run as fast as you can because that adrenaline is pumping. So I really think his hand isn't a reason. I think he needs to fit. I mean, he probably has the time to go the first three rounds, you know, but you have to take a chance, man. This kid is really good. You know, I'm not going to sit and tell him I'm the most analytical guy when it comes to football, but man, this guy's good. The guy put you know, to do what he did, to not use his quote-unquote disability as a disability, this guy's really good. I think people should pay more attention to him. They should give him a fair shot, you know, have him in, test him out. Hope he has another pro day at UCF and shows people what he's made of, and he can go from there. Now, from this joyous situation, kind of got to take a sad turn right now. Anybody remember Alden Smith? You know, he was just great linebacker at one point in time. He was gonna be the next one. You know, he had all the skill set, he had everything. He was great. And what did he do? He's been out the league for a few years now. And it's just kind of like, well, what the hell is the problem? You know, dude's been out the league since what, 2015, 2016, hasn't been reinstated yet. And then yesterday, the other day, he gets caught for domestic violence. You know, he's released on $30,000 bail, but it's like, the trouble this guy has, he's been in the NFL. You know what the scary part is? Before I even get into his trouble, his first year he had 14 sacks. Second year he had 19.5 sacks. It's like you came in out the door, aggressive, confident, successful, and you fuck it up with this? Because alcohol, because of some weed, because of something stupid? I mean, just all the transgressions that he's had, man, it's just been bad. You know, a DUI, you know, he's been suspended since 2015. It's like, how? And you know, I always say, it's always that kid that sits in a room and that says, "Oh, when I make it, I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna take care of my body." That kid is LeBron. They look at LeBron James. He's the kid that said, "Man, when I make it, I'm gonna do this. When I make it, I'm gonna do that." And he's done everything he said he was gonna do. You got all this modern medicine at your disposal. You're right. You better take advantage of it. Which is why he looks the way he looks at 33 years old. He's not like a beaten up 33 year old man. So I totally understand it. You know, with this guy here, it's like you're on the road to greatness. 47 and a half sacks. You haven't played it down since 2015. Well, when you finally get it. You know, it's sad, you know, that people get in these positions that people are dying for. He's in the NFL, high pick, you know, living a life. You know, he's not even 30 years old yet. He's 28 years old, and you're out of the NFL right now because you can't control whatever issues you have. Whatever rehab you've taken isn't strong enough. It's sad, but if anybody can reach this dude, please reach him, because it's just terrible, and it's sad, man, you know. And I hate to end anything on that way, especially when you end a show like that. But, I mean, he's just somebody that, you know, when you think about it, I mean, it's wasted talent. He doesn't get it together. Tommy wakes up and realizes he wants it. He's gonna be 34. Who's gonna want a 30 some odd year old, you know, lineman? Nobody wants to deal with that. You know, who wants a linebacker? You know, like, it's ridiculous, man. Like, he's got a lot to learn, man. Wasting a whole lot of money. Him and Josh Gordon are crazy as all hell, man. So, to each his own. But you know, that's all I got for you guys today, man. I just wanted to get back in the swing of things, man. It's a quick, short show. But I wanted to get back in the swing of things and start getting my momentum back up, man. Like I said, I'd like to thank you again for joining me always. Please stay tuned in the coming weeks as I get in the high gear with March Madness, as well as the end of the NBA regular season, so we can see what's going on with that. Of course, any little details regarding the NFL with the draft and so forth, I'll definitely be talking about that. So if you get a chance, man, please head over to iTunes and go to the podcast and search Jamon Bolton Show, and then please hit subscribe. You know, if you're also on Instagram, please follow me at Sports Drama Entertainment. Just follow me. I catch all the little details, whether it's for basketball, football, baseball, sometimes golf, hockey, entertainment world. I try to cover it all. It's just me by myself, so bear with me. I want to give a shout out to my show sponsor today, Troy Manson Signature Socks, with a slogan to stand out from the socks up. Check them out at www.tmsocks.com. You know, check out the new spring collection. Everything's available for pre-order now, so go ahead and check them out. Also, want to shout out my boy Cal Griffin and all things hoops, man. He's, you know, he's got that popping over there, moving the culture forward with his daily insight and coverage of the games. He just covered the Big Ten tournament, so he's got an article on his website about, I believe his article about Rutgers, but he's got a brand new article out. I put an article up there a week or so ago that he just published with me. It's about the NCAA and their scandal. I also put one up about DeJuan Wagner a few weeks ago, so go check it out, man. Also, you can find him on Instagram at allthings_hoops. Again, allthings_hoops. And you can find him on Twitter at allthingshoops.com. You know, thank you for joining me again. It's your boy, Jamon Bolton. I'll be back with you guys in a couple days. Thanks for joining me. Peace out.